Introducing Ellie Weber at 9:01 on a Tuesday morning. The topic is second chances and human input in halacha. Obviously not on the... Maybe Pesach Sheni? It's part of the Rambam.
The answer is, I could have just done the mitzvah Pesach Sheni, which we may or may not have done already, not sure. Obviously, let's start at the beginning. Pesach Sheni is Motzei Shabbos.
Yeah.
So for most people, Pesach Sheni is a source of joy because you get to skip Tachnun. Okay? That's the extent of that seems to be the extent of what's left. Of what's left of Pesach Sheni. There's a lovely minhag which we, you know, of eating matzah on Pesach Sheni. But Pesach Sheni, you know, there's not much left of it because all it is Karban Pesach. Right? You don't have to get rid of chametz and things like that. But it's very much worth talking about for two reasons. Well, three reasons. One, it's a halacha in the Torah, and the Rambam counts as a mitzvah, and it's a standalone mitzvah, and that's fascinating. But the second is, let's say, for whatever reason, on Sukkos, you were unable, and it's not your fault, to do the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. Okay, you know, you landed up someplace, they didn't have anything. There's no makeup date. You don't get Sukkos Sheni, okay? Today's the 24th day of the Omer. In 26 days, you fell asleep at night, so you didn't stay up Shavuos night. There's no Shavuos Sheni.
Yeah, but that's
right?
Because even if you're Tameh, you can still do it.
Okay. Well, yes and no. Meaning, there's a lot of reasons why a person may have been. You see, being Tameh is one reason you couldn't do it. But, you know, being under sedation, being, you know, being sick, there's a lot of reasons that are out of your control that you might have missed shofar. Okay? And yet, there is no such thing as, you know, yontif sheni for these things. To be clear, there is an idea of tashlumin for karbanos, for the other regalim. Like, Shavuos is only one day. You get a week after Shavuos to bring your karbanos that you, okay? But that's more of a technicality. With respect to the core mitzvahs of the holiday, you don't have this idea. So I don't mean to say there's no idea of makeups in halacha, and you're right. We will at some point have to talk about, for example, tashlumin. There's an idea that, let's say you didn't daven shachris this morning. You didn't daven shachris this morning, by the way, only if it was b'shogeg.
Right.
But not bemazed. A person who says, you know, I'm not davening, then you feel bad later, there's no tashlumin. So there is an idea, if you missed the davening, of tashlumin. It's true. The sense you get, first of all, the first thing is, that's drabanan. I mean, as a Shmon Esrei to begin with. It's not a pasuk in the Torah. They're related, but I would rather say that they made up tashlumin based on Pesach Sheni. It's certainly not the reverse. Okay. As an aside, it's a fascinating question. You know, what constitutes ones and shogeg for tefillah? It's just an interesting idea. Let's say a person is going to sleep at 3 in the morning, he's exhausted. And he says, you know what, I'm not going to set my alarm in the morning. Whenever I get up, you know, but I hope to sleep as late as possible. And great, he sleeps till noon. Can he daven two minchas? That's a major discussion in postgame, because that might be amazing. Right? A person who's watching a game on a Sunday afternoon and he thinks I should daven mincha, and he says, well, you know what, I'll wait till after the game. And the game goes into overtime, and, you know, next thing you know. So that's an interesting discussion, but it's a discussion here too. One second. The last point that we want to talk about, so the first is, you know, just why Pesach has Sheni and no other holidays do, where does that come from? But the second is, the halacha itself is presented in the Torah in such a unique way that it bears focus. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu did not give us the halacha of Pesach Sheni. It was not given at Har Sinai. It was not given at Ohel Moed. Apparently, and we'll read the Pesukim slowly, it was a result of a request, which raises the question of, could it really be that there are parts of the Torah that are a response to human initiative, that people came to Moshe and Moshe went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, oh, you know what, that's a good idea. I know that sounds disrespectful, But at least in theory, we should pursue that.
In relation to what you said earlier, because there's an issue of deraita versus rabbanan, and you're not sure what to do, when it comes to davening, you woke up at 11 in the morning, so should you say, it's the rabbanan, I could be lenient and not daven again. And the Shema, I should say, that's a deraita, even though it's too late, I should say.
Correct. Well, also, it's easy. Shema, there's no downside. It's no bracha levatala. You're saying psukei Torah. You know, you were early, you were late. There couldn't be anything wrong. At worst, you said Shema and you weren't yotzei the mitzvah.
Right.
But with Shmona Esrei, that was a brachos. So you have not only the Drabbanan, you have kind of suffic brachos lahakel. Mm-hmm. Versus another interesting idea in halacha, ulevai sheyispal adam kol hayom kulo. We like davening. Halacha likes davening. Kadosh Baruch Hu likes davening. So it's kind of a unique example. It's not really fair. The better example is like brachos, you know, birchas hanenin on fruits. Mm-hmm. So there we're always going to be mekel. Yes.
In 1945, I remember in 1945 we had chaplain Schechter. Chaplain.
Did you have Pesach Rishon?
He had no matzahs. It's interesting. In the morning we got bread. We waited for 2 weeks. In the morning, got bread. They said it's special, but they didn't know that. That's what happened. So the rabbi said, because in 2 weeks we didn't get no food, etc.
Okay, interesting.
So basically, I remember we had some Jews, I don't know, matzot, and we had a whole Seder.
Okay. Let's start in the Psukim and Balos. So the Psukim are fascinating. They really are. And again, this is a halacha that is given not like as part of a narrative, but the whole narrative is the creation of this halacha. And here we go. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'ashana ha-shenit litzeitam me'eretz Mitzrayim b'chodesh ha-rishon le'mor. So it's now Nisan. You have to imagine this. It's the second Nisan. We left Mitzrayim on the 15th of Nisan, right? We traveled 49 days to Har Sinai. We then stayed there. We're still at Har Sinai a year later, more or less, a little less than a year later, because of the Chet HaEgel and Moshe has to go back, right? We couldn't travel. So we're still there. We're still there. And V'ya'asu b'nei Yisrael et ha-pasach b'mo'ado. The Torah recounts that this is the second Karma Pesach, right? It's the anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim. By the way, we believe this is the only Pesach that they observed in the Midbar, but they kept Pesach. Now, here goes the story. Pasuk Vav. Vayihi anoshim asher hayu tumeim lenefesh adam. There were people who were tamei lenefesh adam, meaning the highest level of tuma. They came in contact with a dead human body. If you're Tameh, you can't do Korban Pesach. And they approach Moshe and Aaron on that day. Now they say to Moshe, Anachnu tumeim lenefesh adam. We are Tameh. Lama nigara. It's a great word. It doesn't come up that often in the Torah. Lama nigara. To be goreya is like to subtract. A giraon, as we all know in your bank account, is a deficit. Right? Why should we be excluded? Levilti hakrivet karban Hashem b'moado b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Right? Why should we lose out? Now, let's stop there for a second. A couple of fascinating things. This issue of Anachnu Tmeim Lenefesh Adam, okay? Who are these people? The Torah doesn't say. So, this actually has a lot to do with another interesting machlokas that comes up. And the question is, did Jews die in the Midbar before Chet HaMeraglim? It's clear that after Chet HaMeraglim, we were told, you're all going to die in the Midbar. But what about before? So where this comes up is, there are two different counts in the Torah, at least two, maybe three, of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. And they're months apart, and they both have 603, 550 men between, more or less. So there's a discussion there. Didn't people die? How could the number have been the same? So one of the approaches is, you know, somehow the number of people who died and the number of people who turned 20 were exactly the same. But one of the approaches is, no, nobody died. Right? That was the point. Nobody died. So then, wait, who are the Anashim HaYesher Yutmeim LeNefesh Adam? This is a story. Now the Torah doesn't tell us.
We ever learned earlier, but not of an Avihu.
Correct. So the Torah does tell us that two people died.
And they were carried by the
Torah. So one possibility is that these were not, obviously, Nadav and Avihu, they were the brothers, Elazar v'Itamar.
Or the cousins.
Cousins, Ishael v'Eltzafan, who schlepped them out. Okay? The other is, no, people died, and it was a mace mitzvah, you know, and they dealt with it. Or, the third one is, they were the Nosei Arono Shel Yosef. Right? We know that they took the bones of Yosef, it's a pasuk in the Torah, out of Mitzrayim. Eventually, he was buried in Shechem. So, it's interesting, in Chazal, they take seriously to figure out who these people were. We'll see why in a second. Those are the three possibilities. They were anybody, okay? Or see, if they were anybody, let's say people died. I just, for myself, let's say people died. So God, okay, it's your father. It was your wife. You know, it's a very sad thing. Okay, so you tell me, you see, you can't bring a Korban Pesach. To me, that's one thing. But if you're the guys, if you're Mishael and Eltzafan, who were told by Aaron and Moshe, so, you know, take them out of the Kodesh, then you go, that's not fair. You know, you made us miss you. Or, by the way, it's interesting, they would have done it 7 days before. Mm-hmm. Well, they would have been Tameh. See, we think that it happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
Yeah.
Right? Which means they couldn't have been Metaher themselves till the 8th day. You know, there wasn't enough time for, that's a technicality. But and the last thing is, if you're the Nosei Aron Shel Yosef, you go, look, I'm doing this mitzvah, right? You ask me, okay? That's the discussion.
Are they Tameh from carrying a cup?
In that medrash, they are. It depends, you know, who knows? Is it a box? Is it just a, who knows? Okay? Now, here's one of the great lines in the Torah. They say to Moshe, hey, this is not fair. And he says, Vayomer Alehem Moshe, Imdu ve'eshma'a mayitzave Hashem lachem. Meaning, Moshe says,
I don't know.
Right? Now, he could have said, listen, that's the din. This is the fascinating part. He could have said, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the halachos. What are the halachos? The halachos are that if you're Tameh, you're excluded from Karma Pesach. I do not know why it was that at this moment Moshe thought, you know, what? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give me a halacha? Right? Maybe we should change it. It's hard to know what he thought. And it's hard to know why he came to them. I assume that people all the time, you know, came to Moshe and listened and said, wait, that doesn't seem fair.
Moshe didn't.
Right?
Going
yeah, Moshe doesn't say, okay, let's change, you know, fine, let's convene, you know, the reform, whatever, council, we'll change the halacha. It's fascinating, you know.
Could it be that Moshe knew the halacha but wasn't told to repeat it to Bnei Israel?
But let's say he knew it. Oh, you think he knew it, but it was a secret halacha?
No, in other words, like when Moshe speaks with Hashem,
right?
Hashem usually told him Dado Bnei Israel.
Right.
Otherwise, it was a private conversation. He wouldn't repeat it.
No, but I think if it was, I think the understanding is if it was a halacha, he would repeat it. I mean, we don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu in private conversation. You know, my head would explode to try to think what that means. But we do think that God told, you know, if God told Moshe halacha, and then they came to him and they said, Moshe, this doesn't seem fair, we want to do it. If he knew the halacha, he would have just said it, I think. So, look, and then the last thing is, these people were potter. I want to point to that. These people were potter. The halacha was, if you're Tameh, right? There's nothing wrong. I mean, you didn't do anything wrong. If we didn't bring a Karban Pesach and we're chayav in Karban Pesach, that's terrible. That's a chiyuv kares. Right? Again, there are only two mitzvot that say in the Torah, the punishment for which are kares. They are Karban Pesach and Bris Milah. But these people, absolutely nothing. They did nothing wrong. And yet they come to Moshe and they say, We want in, right? There's a level of like lama nigara. There's a level of saintliness to their request, and maybe that's what moved Moshe, who knew the halacha. Again, these people would not have been punished in any way. Not only that, they would not have had to do tshuva. It's not like they did something wrong and there's an excuse for it. It's the difference between, an example we use, the difference between you wake up on Friday night in the middle of the night and you forget what night it is, so you leave the bathroom, you shut the light off. Okay? That's a show gig. On the one hand, you're not going to be punished for it. On the other hand, it does demand a level of tshuva because you probably should have been aware, right? Whereas, my favorite example, and the other one, you know, you're at a kiddush on Shabbos, a crowded kiddush, it's great shalant, you're reaching for the shalant, somebody knocks your arm out of the way, into the light switch. That's not shogeg. There's no need to do tshuva. That's called misasik. You have no culpability for that. So this is something that completely, there's no culpability whatsoever. It's not a shogeg. And yet they push the point. Okay, now look at Rashi in number 2. Rashi says, Lama nigara. They said, why should we be subtracted? Why should we lose out? Oh, sorry, just one second. I'm so sorry. Just something going on. Okay. We're learning for Refuah Shleima for Tova Matol Bas Chaya Etol. Okay.
You know, I already mentioned Brits. They also didn't give themselves a Brit for whatever reason. It's not exactly clear that for all those years.
No, but there's Sakana. That's unrelated. It's an interesting point, but I think it's unrelated. Let's look at Rashi. Lama Nigara in number 2. Amar Lahem. This is just an interesting technicality at the beginning. Amar Lahem. Ain Kachim Kraven Betuma. Sorry. Moshe said, you know, you can't be makriv kachim when you're tame. Amrulo, they had like an idea. Yizarek hadam aleinu b'kohanim tohorim. Let kohanim tohorim, they won't touch us. They'll spill blood on us. V'yochal ha-basal le-tohorim, and other people could eat for us. Anyway, like they tried to come up with some theory under which they get in. But now here's the part. Omar lohem. Imdu v'eshma'a. Kitalmid ha-muvtach lishma mipi rabo. So he just says, Rashi points out the obvious. Like Moshe was like a Talmud, like he had a Rebbe, and he knows he could go in and ask the Rebbe. Ashrei yelud isha shekach muvtach, right? Praised is a human being who has this kind of belief or confidence in God. Shekol zman shaya rotze hayom midaber im hashchina. Yeah, that's just an interesting observation that Rashi makes, which is the confidence Moshe had, that normally we think, and certainly for other Nevi'im, when you think of the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The Rambam says that there's two Ani Mamins. One is that Kol Divrei Nevi'im Emet, and the other is Shenevuat Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom Haya Amitit V'Shehu Haya Avla Nevi'im LaKadmim LeFanav LaBoim Acharav. That Moshe's nevuah was of a quality and maybe a quantity different than anybody else who ever came before him. I think this is one of the ways you see that. The understanding is that every other Navi, including Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, had to wait for God to appear to them. And Rashi says here, you know, no, Moshe Rabbeinu could call on God when he needed him. Now, I don't know that that's true all the time, because we believe that during the 38 years, it's a little hard to know this, but we believe that during the 38 years in the Midbar, between Chet HaMeraglim and the death of, you know, the Dor Yotze HaMidbar, Mitzrayim, was radio silence, right? There's nothing in the Torah about those 38 years. And there's Midrashim, you know, so I don't know that it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu could just call on God whenever, but when he had an issue, Rashi says he could call on God. Now, here's the point I really want to make. Third line at the end. Ure'uya haita parsha zo lehe amer al yidei Moshe kishar kol haTorah kula. Really, this is a din. And this din, the way I read the Rashi, is this din should have been included as a regular halacha. When Moshe Rabbeinu gave Pesach Rishon, he would have told them, oh, and by the way, if you're Tamei, then there'll be a thing called Pesach Sheni. But Rashi says it wasn't done that way. Ela shezachu elu shete omer al yidehem. Rather, these people were zocha, they merited that the halacha should be said through them, shemigalgalin zechut al yidei zakai, because they want to be megalgel zechus, you know, like mitzvah, gorat mitzvah, that good things come from other good things, so they want good things to come from these people. So just a few observations. One is, again, who are these people? Right? You know, Rashi is such a great thing that we got Pesach Sheni in the zechus of these people. But the second is, how do you read this? Is it clear in Rashi that the halacha was always going to be this way? This is the way I read it. There was always going to be a halacha of Pesach Sheni. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give it to Moshe so that these people could step up and then the halacha could be said in the zechut of these people. There's something to that, and there's something that makes it more meaningful. Right? That Pesach Sheni, at least as it's written in the Torah, is the result of human initiative.
It's like a tshuva thing.
Huh? Yes, but it's not tshuva.
No, because they didn't do anything wrong.
Correct.
But doesn't this remind you of Dot of Solovkhan?
We'll come to that.
We'll come to that. Come later from an event.
We'll come to that. Exactly. There's not certain halachot. There are two. Okay, you're absolutely right. And I want to compare the two. And I think that the Torah sets them up as being exact parallels. But you got to go through it. Okay? So now, let's just finish. Let's go back upstairs. So now we have to read the second paragraph of Pesach Sheni. So they come to Moshe. Moshe goes to God. Second paragraph, Pasuk Tet. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe leimor. Now, by the way, just to point out, even the way it's written, you see the second paragraph? The second paragraph could have been written without the first paragraph. The whole Torah is that way. Here's some halachos you should know. Right? It's so obvious the way the Torah presents it that the first part didn't have to be. Everybody with me? Right? All halachos are given that. There's a din called Pesach Sheni. So it's written as if it was not the result of the first paragraph, even though it is. Here it comes. Yud. Daber b'nei Yisrael emor. Ish ish ki yet tamei lanefesh. Now here's the part that is unrelated. O b'derech rechokah lachem. So let's point out, these people were not b'derech rechokah. Nobody was b'derech rechokah. They all lived in the camp in the midbar.
Right, where they traveled.
Right. So this is what makes you think that the halacha was always going to be that way. Because these people didn't say anything about b'derech rechokah. They were just tameh. But now the halacha comes. If you're tameh o b'derech rechokah, by the way, that's a fascinating machlokas. What is derech rechokah? And by the way, would that halacha change limos hamashiach? When travel changes. And when you think of, you know, what halachas might or might not change. So in the old days, you know, 15 kilometers or 30 kilometers, or, you know, different machloksim, that's a long journey. But I got a car. You know, I got a plane. There's a discussion about what that would mean and what derech rechokah would mean.
After the solar flare, we'll be walking. So it doesn't matter.
Whatever that means. Well, I know what you just said.
The radiation of the sun will fry the electrical circuitry.
Yeah, I don't think that's... Yeah.
Well, hopefully.
Okay, fine. So he says this person is b'derech rechokah or tamei. So here's a new holiday, Pasuk Yud Aleph. B'chodesh hasheni ba'arba'a asar yom bein ha'arba'im yasu oto. Okay, good. He has a second chance. He could do it in Iyar. On the 14th of Iyar, al matzot u'morim yochluhu. It would look exactly the way it would look a month earlier. It would be done al matzot u'morim yochlu. By the way, that's actually the quote with respect to Korban Pesach, right? Now, certain halachas are the same, certain aren't. Lo yashiru mimenu ad boker, the same din of nosar, you can't leave it over till the morning. Ve'etzem lo yishburu bo, and you can't break a bone, just like the regular Korban Pesach. Kechol chukat ha-pesach ya'asu oso. It's exactly like original Korban Pesach. Now, it's exactly like original Korban Pesach, but not exactly. Why?
So with
respect to the actual eating, it's exactly like Korban Pesach. But the stuff around it, like the din is Pesach Sheni v'chametz imo babayis. Right? So I would say like this. it's Pesach, but it's not Chag HaMatzos. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. That's the din. Now, ask me another question. Why a month? No idea. You know, because there's a lot of...
It gives you time for sure.
Correct.
To get there.
Correct.
It's a practical issue.
But it should have been either you don't have to do it at all, or you can do it even though you're Tamei or...
Well, we'll come back to that, because I think the Tamei thing does undermine it. But... look, the answer could simply be this. Yes, it could have been any day. You need enough time for people to become tahar, you know, but presumably you don't want to schlep it out too long. You know, if you ask me, you don't want to schlep it out too long. It's easy to remember that it's a month later. I have nothing fancy to say on that. It's just an interesting thing to think about. Now, last pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'yayish ashehu tahar uvederech lo haya. But if you had no excuse, you are tahar, and you were not far away from the Beis HaMikdash, and v'chadal is a hard word to translate. V'chadal is not like it's like an active refraining. He didn't. Maybe you'd even say b'mezid. V'nichrita hanefesh ahimei ameha. He gets kares. Ki karban Hashem lo hikriv b'moado cheto yisa ha'ishahu. Because he did not bring the karban Hashem, that's the way the Torah refers to karban Pesach, and therefore he's Chayev Kares. Now, here's the question. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Which Pesach is it talking about?
He missed the first one. So now he has the makeup. You're suggesting we're talking about the second?
I'm asking.
I would say it's the second.
I think it's the second. Because I think we know the punishment for the first. Uh-huh. It's Kares. Mm-hmm. Now the Torah is saying a possible reading, although it's not 100%. A possible reading is you didn't bring Karban Pesach Rishon for good reasons. Okay, you're excused for Pesach. But you have no excuse for Pesach Sheni. And you don't bring Pesach Sheni. That, if we have time, we'll see as a machlokas in the Gemara. Is Pesach Sheni there just to help? Or could Pesach Sheni generate a Chiyuv Kares that you wouldn't have had with respect to Pesach Rishon? You understand the question? Here. You were those are not a good example. So. For whatever reason, you were in the hospital and you were sick on Pesach Rishon. That makes you an ones, right? There's no way you could bring, right? You were in a coma on Pesach Rishon. Okay? That's an ones. You were completely absolved of Pesach Rishon. But great, you recover. And now comes Pesach Sheni. The question is, if you choose, now you're chayv to do Pesach Sheni, even though it was not your fault that you didn't do Pesach Rishon, you are chayv to do Pesach Sheni. Now, for whatever reason, you go, I don't want to do Pesach Sheni. I'm angry at God, I was sick, whatever, and you bemazed, don't bring Pesach Sheni. Could it be that now Pesach Sheni can generate a chiyuv kares for you, that if it hadn't been for Pesach Sheni, you wouldn't have had kares to begin with, because you didn't do anything wrong in not bringing Pesach Rishon? Are you clear? Mm-hmm. Okay, yes.
I don't think there's an excuse. I mean, he should be so thankful that he recovered his health and was now able to function outside the hospital, and now he can bring Pesach.
Great, you were in jail. Whatever, it doesn't matter why, but I'm saying the point is, if you didn't have Pesach Sheni, you would not have been punished for Pesach Rishon because you had an excuse to not bring Pesach Rishon. Could Pesach, you know, we would like to think, I would have thought, Pesach Sheni is this great gift that God gave us.
Right.
It's a makeup.
Yeah. And that's
but here, it's not a makeup. Here, it's kind of an independent chiyuv, and if you don't do it, it's like you have two possibilities in, make something up, okay? Yom Kippur. You have to, if you don't, you know, you have to fast on Yom Kippur. So the Torah says, good news, you know, if for whatever reason you couldn't fast on Yom Kippur, here's a makeup date. So you go, great. If I do the makeup date, I made up for it. If I don't, nothing bad about it. No, but if you don't do the makeup, it's as if you didn't fast on Yom Kippur again. That's, you know, that's bad.
Is it a legitimate question to ask whether it's appropriate to extend the availability of Pesach Sheni to more than the two cases given?
Yes, and we do. The halacha does it. We'll get there.
Okay.
That I think that's a really, really important point.
Okay.
That Pesach Sheni applies not Lemaisa.
Not to Ones.
Pesach Sheni applies to Ones also.
Yeah, but just
No, but the halacha is otherwise.
Oh.
You're absolutely right that the pasuk seems to be. It doesn't. If you were in a coma, but the answer is it.
Okay,
quick.
From outside readings, I got the impression he lived in Babylonia, the Golan, that people did not come to the Beit HaMikdash ever, perhaps in their lives. And yet they're going to be liable karet because they didn't bring it. I mean, did they do Pesach like at home?
No, you're still the same rules would apply for Pesach Sheni. If you're bederach rechoka,
no, they're not. They live just plain too far.
That's derech rechoka.
So were they?
So they're fine. But again, in the Torah, nobody lived far. Nobody lived in Babylon in the
second
Torah.
Second temple period. I mean,
in the Torah. Okay.
Also, if you're home with an elderly parent, you can't leave them.
Okay. So those
by which. You know,
okay, that might be an onus. You know, it's a fair question to ask. Is kibud avayim? You know, those are fancy questions, and they're good questions. Now, let's just do some more passion. As people mentioned before, there is another and one and only one other situation like this in the Torah.
Can you offer a korban through a shliach?
So that you
he
don't.
But he can't eat it for you, and it can only be eaten in Yerushalayim.
Oh.
Yes, one of the sources for shaliach is Karban Pesach, because it's clear that it's not possible for every Jew to show up and shecht. You know, it's clear that that's the case. But there are certain parts. You know, it's like you can buy a shaliach could buy you your dalad mina, but he can't waive it for you, right? Mitzvah shebegufa we normally think cannot be done al yidei shaliach. Now, let's look at the other situation in the Torah that's parallel to this, and I think that's intentionally parallel. And that is the story of the daughters of Tzlavchad, who were left out of the inheritance. Says the Torah as follows in Bamidbar Perek Chav Zayin, source 3. Vati kravna benot Tzlavchad ben Chefer ben Gilad ben Bachir ben Menashe lemishpachat Menashe ben Yosef. Ve'eile shmot benotav machla noa v'chagla u'milka v'tirza. Now, just an observation, but it's whole. The difference between the Torah telling us a story of Pesach Sheni and who are these people? Vahi anashim asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam. And so therefore Chazal could go to town who they are. Here, there are more names in this pasuk than maybe, I didn't look, but in many other pasuk in the Torah. First of all, the father was Tzlavchad ben Chefer ben Gilad ben Machir ben Menashe ben Yosef. Okay, we figured out, we know Menashe is a, you know, we know who he was, and the names of the daughters. So just, you know, it's sometimes you see a pasuk that just, it's so obvious that the Torah is trying to pound away at who they were. Okay? Vata'amodna lifnei Moshe v'lifnei Elazar HaKohen. The parallel is, last time they stood before Moshe and Aaron, but this time Aaron is dead. So they're standing before Moshe and Elazar, Kohen, v'lifnei ha-nisiyim v'chol ha'idah petach ha-moed le'mor. And what's their claim? Avinu meit ba-midbar. Okay, our father died. V'hu lo haya b'toch ha-idah ha-noadim al Hashem ba'adat Korach. But he was not part of the Korach rebellion. Ki b'chet o meit uvanim lo hayulo. He died for his own sin. Again, there's an implication if you were part of Adas Korach, you lost your Yerusha. Right? But he wasn't that. He was a regular person who died.
I thought he was part of Rav.
No. I don't think we think so. Now, Pasuk Dalet. Lama Yigara. The word is used so infrequently, right? They were, the Tmeim Lenefesh were Lama Nigara. They said Lama Yigara. Again, you can't miss the point. The Torah is pointing to the parallels. Lama yigara shem avinu mitoch mishpachto ki ein lo bein. Why should a father's name be erased because he has no son? Tana lanu achuza betoch achei avinu. Okay, we want to have an inheritance. Vayakre, the same thing happens. Vayakrev Moshe mishpatan lifnei Hashem. Moshe, again, I can't answer the question of why Moshe doesn't say to them, sorry, that's not the halacha. You know what it was about their story. It's fascinating to me. I just don't know the answer that makes Moshe for the second and only the second time ever say, "Don't know. I'm going to go to God." And then you have the same thing. The next paragraph in the Torah, starting with Vav, again could be read as its own halacha. Vayom Hashem Moshe Limor. Except here there's an acknowledgement, which is different than the first case. In the first case, all you have is like this independent paragraph that says, okay, here's the halacha. Whoever's Tameh or Dech or Chokah can bring Pesach Sheni. But here you have like, it reads almost like an admission by God. Kein benot slav chot dov rot. They are right. Naton titein lahem achuzat nachala betoch achei avihem. They deserve an inheritance. V'havartot nachalat avihem lahem. And they should be able to get. And he says, and now here's the real halacha. V'abnei sot v'davel emor ish ki amud ubein ein lo. V'havartem et nachalato levito. I have to say, for me, this reads like a change in halacha. Or like, you know, I wasn't going to do this, but now, I just have to say, no proofs. It just, the, you know, there are so many parallels between the two cases that the differences stand out. And here the difference is that God says, Kein benot slavchot dovrot, they're right. Maybe they're right even to the extent that, I don't know, somehow we're changing the halacha. So, look at Rashi's in number 4. Interesting Rashi's, and they're not consistent. They come to Moshe and say, hey, we want an achla. And he said, Vayakrev Moshe mishpatam lifnei Hashem. Here, Rashi quotes the Medrash, nit alma halacha mimenu. Means, in this Rashi, Moshe had been told this halacha, but he forgot it. This comes up a few times in Pinchas, right? Pinchas says to Moshe, we should kill Zimri. And the Medrash says, Moshe forgot the halacha. Nitalma halacha mimenu. V'kan nifra, Moshe was punished or paid back, al shenatal atara, that he took too much for himself. He took the crown, lomar, v'hadavar sheikshem ikem takrivun elai. Moshe said, we'll set up a court system, and the questions that nobody else knows come to me. So here the Medrash kind of says like it was some level of arrogance maybe that he said that, so he was forced in front of everybody to admit that he didn't know a halacha. Davar acher, different explanation, much more positive. Ruya hayta parsha zo lihikatev al yidei Moshe. Really, this parsha should have been given along with the rest of the Torah. Ela shezachu benot slavcha v'nichteva al yadan. But because benot slavcha were such tzadikiyot, however you say that, okay. Meaning, they were, let's say in our terms, they were such Zionists. They desperately wanted a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu intentionally did not reveal this halacha to Moshe when he gave him the Torah to allow for Benos Slavchad to get credit for it. Okay? That's one possibility. Next Rashi, Zion. God says, Kein Benos Slavchad Dovarot. Not that it's a mistake, that I made a mistake. Kitargumo Yehud. Like the Targum says, correct. Kach Kituva parsha zo lefanai bamarom. This is weird that the parsha of benos slavchad, of women inheriting, was written somehow bamaron on high. Magid shara'ata einan mashalo ra'ata eino shel Moshe. Again, a kind of a knock on Moshe Rabbeinu that they saw something, they understood something that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand. Now another possibility. Kein benos slavchad dovrot, bottom of the page. Yafe tivao. Yes, it's their argument is correct. Ashrei Adam Shakadosh Baruch Hu model idvarav. Praiseworthy is the person who gets God to admit that they are correct. Again, here it opens up the possibility that the halacha really did change. The last Rashi opens up the possibility that really women were not going to inherit, and they showed up and they did inherit. Okay, in terms of narrative, there's tons to be said and tons to be seen, but again, you could look on your own. These two parallels and the possibility of human initiative and God acknowledging it and the lessons that you learn, lessons of purity of motivation, it's clear that these people were doing it l'shem shamayim. There's a lot of lessons to be learned. But let's see if we can't deal at least with the second question in the time we have left, which is, what was so unique about Pesach Sheni what was so unique about Karban Pesach that generated a special holiday of Pesach Sheni? So it's worth reading. It's a little long, but it's not that long. A beautiful, beautiful Sefer HaChinuch, who was basically all over this issue, right? There's a standalone mitzvah of Pesach Sheni, The chinuch lays out what the mitzvah is, and then, as he always does, he gives you the rationale for the mitzvah.
Especially since God knows it's a temporary time when the Beit HaMikdash is standing. You might have thought that maybe saying the Haggadah or telling the story among, like something else that's more permanent, would be the mitzvah as opposed
to
the
you see, that's your perspective. And that's our perspective, I mean, because that's what we do.
Is there
but
a
there,
is
there, Korban Pesach was the key. Let's see. Let's read the chinuch. I don't want to run out of time. Chinuch in number 5, mitzvah shin pei, says, Mishar Shea Mitzvah. Lefi shemitzvas ha-pesach hi ot chazak u-barur l'chol roe ha-shemesh b'chidush ha-olam. He says, the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is a foundational principle. It is the proof to anybody who has two eyes that the world was created. Ki az ba'et ha-hi asa'i manu ha-kel baruchu nisim v'nifla'ot gidolot. Because in Yitziat Mitzrayim, God did great miracles. Vishina teva ha'olam le'enei amim rabim. A miracle, by definition, is a suspension of the laws of nature. Now, here's the insight. What does it mean that you can suspend the laws of nature? What it means, according to the Chinuch, is that you preceded the laws of nature and or you created the laws of nature. A miracle proves that God created the world. Third line. V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz ki hashgachato v'yichalto batachtonim. So all people of the world saw that God, you know, rules over not just the heavens but the earth as well. Va'az ba'et ha'hi ha'aminu ha'kol. And at that moment, the way the Chinuch presented, if you saw the miracles in Mitzrayim, you knew not only that there was a God, but that there was a God that created the world. There's a God that controls nature. V'ya'aminu, fourth line, kol ha'ba'im achrahim lo'olam be'emet, shehu baruchu bara ha'olam yesh me'ayin be'et sheratza. Yitziat Mitzrayim means that God created the world something from nothing, ex nihilo in Latin, at his will when he wanted. V'hu et hayadua, that's the time that we know. V'afal pi shebriyat hayesh min ha'ayin hu davar nimna miderech hateva. Right? The one thing human beings cannot do is invent something from nothing. It's simply impossible. All inventions that we have are, I take a bunch of things that exist and I make from them something new. Right? But to create something new from nothing, that's as great a miracle as there could be. But that's how the world was created. Ki kimo kein. Now, just like you can't do something yesh me'ayin, kimo kein nimna livko mitzulat yam ad avor betocho am kaved bayabasha v'yashuvulim kaman. It's equally impossible to split the sea and have a million people walk through and have the sea come back. Likewise, ulahachayot am gadol v'rav arba'im shana milechem hayored min hashamayim yom yom. It's another miracle to sustain people for 40 years in the desert with bread that falls from heaven. V'yeter ha'otot v'hamovtim she'asal lanu bo'etahi she'kulam nitchadshu behefech hatfa'im. All of them were created in opposition to the rules of nature. Okay, so the first thing, you can see where this is going. The Chinuch says that Yitzias Mitzrayim is the proof that God created the world. It's not just another thing that happened to Klal Yisrael. It is the proof that God can suspend rules of nature. If God can suspend rules of nature, it means that God pre-existed nature and that nature serves God as and how God wants. And if you can split the sea and kill the firstborn and sustain the people in the Midbar, then you could create the world. Okay? And now he'll just finish the point. V'inyan chidush ha'olam, and the, you know, God's ability or the fact that God created the world or that the world was created, hu ha'amud ha'chazak be'emunateinu uvitorateinu. It is the foundational principle, it is the bedrock of our religion. ki lema'amine hakadmut ein Torah v'chelek l'olam haba im Yisrael. If you believe that the world existed forever, that the world pre-existed, whatever the word is for that, you can't be part of the Jewish people, because that's the foundational principle. Okay, now he doesn't say this, but implicit in here is there are, you know, there's the fact that God created the world. That's like one, that's a foundational principle. It's huge. And then there's Yetzias Mitzrayim. But why is Yetzias Mitzrayim more important in our faith belief than the fact that God created the world? So what the Chinuch is hinting at is because nobody saw God create the world. So we don't have, you know, we have to take that on faith, and we do. But what he's saying, and the Kuzari, it's a whole line in Jewish thought, and it speaks to me. The Kuzari says, you know, how do you know that Judaism is real? Don't fight me on this. I'm just going to quote him. He says, because it's too big a myth to have been created and to have been inserted into history. Meaning, lahavdil, you know, Jesus things, the big ones happen in front of a few hundred people. Right? But Maimon Har Sinai happened in front of 2 million people. He says, you can't make that up and have people believe it. Okay? So, if you ask him, how do you know that God created the world? He would say, and I think the Chinuch would say, because, you know, your father heard it from his grandfather, heard it from his grandfather, heard it from his grandfather, because we have a Mesorah from living people, from millions of witnesses that this thing happened. Okay? So Pesach is, it's the most important holiday, and Karm Pesach is the most important thing. Why? Because it's the proof of God creating the world. Now, having said that, the rest of it you can anticipate. 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth line up towards the end of the line. Four full lines from the end. Okay, beginning of the line. Al Kain, therefore. Hayam miritzono baruch hu, it was God's desire, lezakot b'mitzvah zo hanichpedet kol ish miYisrael. He wanted every Jewish person to do this mitzvah. Va'al ye'akveyu ones v'richuk makom me'asota. And he won't be excluded because of some, again, right away here you see, we move from tameh and v'derech rechoka to ones. Okay? People won't lose out on the mitzvah because it didn't work out. Ki im yikreu avon shene'enas b'chodesh harishon v'lo zacha bo im hakodmi, able to bring Korban Pesach then, ya'ase oto b'chodesh hasheni, he'll have a second chance. U'lefi shehu yisod gadol b'da'at, because it's a foundational principle in our religion, higia hachiyuv gam kein af al hager shenit gayer bein Pesach rishon l'sheni. Now here's an unbelievable thing. Let's stop for a second. The way we have it is till now, what we would say is as follows. You didn't bring Pesach rishon for the whole range of reasons. And let's put it on the table. The range of reasons are, you were angry at God, God forbid, you mazed on Pesach rishon, till you were tamei, you know, in the greatest mitzvah opportunity ever, and it's completely not your fault. Okay? So, okay, now you have another date, Pesach Sheni, that you can make it up. But what if you never had the chiyuv in the first place? Not because you were tameh, and not because you did anything wrong, but because you aren't Jewish. Or, what's that? You aren't Jewish. You can't have a makeup for something, right, if you weren't Jewish. Here, I can't tell you how many bar mitzvah boys during Sfiras HaOmer talk about the famous case of, well, what happens? The question of, do you count Sfiras HaOmer? Well, if you get bar mitzvah in the middle, because you used to just be a drabanan or for chinuch, and now, right? Why don't bar mitzvah boys get up and speak about, would I have to bring Pesach Sheni? That's a good speech, right? Pesach Rishon, I was a katan, right? My birthday is Chafdal Iyar, so it wouldn't have happened to me. I was close, but not. Okay, but my birthday is Rosh Chodesh. My birthday is today. My bar mitzvah is today. Do I have to bring Pesach Sheni? So he knows the answer. So let's leave it. what would the answer be? If I asked you from what we saw so far, the answer would be it's a makeup.
Right.
And well, if it's a makeup,
you know, because you weren't
so here's a good example. Here's a good example, okay?
Right.
A person loses one of the Zion Krovim that morning. God forbid, you know, you one of your parents passed away that you know.
Impassively.
That no.
Oh.
No, today.
Today, okay.
Okay? I'm sorry, at night. Uh-huh. So now you're an Onan. Let's say the easiest case, you know, the burial's going to be this afternoon, whatever, okay? You're an Onan. After the burial, now you're regular Avel. How many times do you daven Mincha? The answer is once. Because you were not Chayav in Shachris. There's nothing to make up. You were Patur. So the question is, do you apply the same rule to Pesach Sheni?
Why would you not apply the rule?
Because it's a Gemara. Okay, here we go because it has to do with the philosophy, but we won't have a lot of time. Let's look at number 6. It's fascinating and it's famous. Come on, Psachim Daf Tzadi Gimel Amad Aleph says as follows. It's a three-way machlokas. Tanu Rabbanan Chayov Kores Al HaRishon V'Chayov Kores Al HaSheni Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says as follows: if you didn't bring Pesach Rishon on purpose, you're Chayiv Kares. Now, if you didn't bring Pesach Sheni on purpose, you get another Kares. You pile on. That's the first Shita. We'll explain. Second Shita, Rab Nassan Omer, Chayiv Kares al HaRishon, Upotur al HaSheni. I think that's what most of us would have thought. Meaning, you didn't bring Pesach Rishon on purpose, you get Kares for that. But if you don't bring Pesach Sheni on purpose, you can't get another kares. It's just a makeup. So your original punishment, you know, remains in place, sort of. Third shita, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya Omer, Af al harishon eino chayev kares, ela im kein lo asa tasheni. No, this really is a great opportunity. See, normally, you were mazed in Pesach Rishon, you just refused to bring it. He says, nevertheless, once Pesach Sheni existed, it's kind of like the punishment of Karis is hanging over your head for a month. If you do Pesach Sheni, it dissipates. But if you don't do Pesach Sheni, it lands on your head. Okay? Now, what's this three-way machlokas really about?
It's enforceable at that point.
It happens, right. Third line. Va'azdu l'tamayu. Each shita goes according to his theory. D'tanya. And here's the case. Ger shenit gayer ben shnei psachim, a convert who converts on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, means he wasn't a Jew on Pesach Rishon, but he would be a Jew on Pesach Sheni. V'chein katan shehigdil ben shnei psachim, your bar mitzvah falls out in that month. Chayav la'asot Pesach Sheni divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says you have to do Pesach Sheni. Why would that be? We'll explain in a second. Rabbi Nassan, no, but you weren't chayav. Rabbi Nassan Omer, kol shezokuk l'rishon, zokuk l'sheni. If you were chayav in the first, then you'll be chayav in the second. But kol she'ein zokuk l'rishon, ein zokuk l'sheni. But if you had no connection to the first, you won't have any connection to the second. But my kumiflige, what's the machlokas? Here it is. Rabbi Savar Sheni Regel Bifnei Atzmohu. Rebbe says once they made up a new thing called Pesach Sheni, it's like the fourth regel. It exists on its own, right? Nobody says, hey, if you were Megayer, are you Chayiv in Shavuos? Of course you're Chayiv in Shavuos. Shavuos came, you're a Jew, right? You're Bar Mitzvah. You got Bar Mitzvah, you know, the day before. What's the difference? Shavuos came, you're a Jew. Sukkos came, you're a Jew. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur came, you're a Jew, you're Chayiv. Says Rebbe, once they introduced Pesach Sheni, it's not a Tashlum in L'Rishon. It's a standalone regel. Therefore, I look just at Pesach Sheni. If I don't bring Pesach Sheni, b'mezid, I'm Chayiv Kares. Now, here's the difficult thing. Here's the problem with Rebbe, but once you say it, you have to go all the way. First of all, the problem is, but it's not really true. No, why is it not really true? Because if I brought Pesach Rishon,
you don't have to
Of course I don't have to bring, even Rebbe thinks I don't have to bring Pesach Sheni. Right? So you have to find a way to formulate it to say it's an independent standalone holiday for those who didn't bring Pesach Rishon. Now, for those who didn't bring Pesach Rishon, not because they were chayav in Pesach Rishon, because otherwise a ger and a katan could never be included. It's just they didn't do it through no fault of their own, including machiyuv. Right? It's a hard sheet to navigate, but at least we understand it. Which is why, bizarrely, Rebbe thinks you could get two karises, because they're kind of independent. The bad thing about this is, according to Rebbe, I was a tamei or b'derech rechoka the first go round. Okay? I don't have a chiyuv kares, I don't have anything. I was completely putter. I was in a coma. Completely putter. Now it's like these people that backfired on them. If there was no Pesach Sheni, they'd be fine. But now that there's a Pesach Sheni, they have another opportunity for kares. Now, see, the answer is, they have another opportunity for kares. That's not how you look at it.
It's comforting.
No. Instead of looking at it that way, you look at it, they have an opportunity to bring Karban Pesach.
So what does the Bar Mitzvah boy do?
He brings the Karban Pesach.
He does bring the Pesach Sheni.
Correct.
Although, so that would be the halakha.
Like a ger does. Okay?
Does a person have to sell his chametz to bring Karban Sheni?
No.
Is there a bracha?
But it says if you do, there's a mission that says if you do Karban Pesach, you can't have, you have.
That's only Pesach Rishon. The halakha is clear. Pesach Sheni, chametz imo babayis. Okay, that's the din. There would have been too much to make him do Pesach Sheni. Fine, but to make him clean.
If you have matzah left over for Pesach Sheni.
By the way, let me just be clear. They cleaned the first time. If Tamei or B'derech Rechoka, even in Bruce's example, it's people in Babylon, they cleaned their houses.
Right.
They just didn't bring Karm Pesach.
And they ate matzah tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Although Bizman HaMikdash, maybe, maybe not. And certainly the guy in a coma didn't. But let's finish because it's going to get late. Let's just do the other shita, so we'll get it. So Rebbe says it's a regel b'fnei atzmo. Last full line in six. Rabbi Nassan Savar Sheni Tashlumin Derishon Hu. That's what we would have said. No, Pesach Sheni is a makeup. Tikuna Lerishon Lo Matkin Le. But it's a makeup, but you can't fix it completely. Meaning, for example, if you miss Shachris. You miss Shachris. It's true you could do Tashlumin for Mincha, but it doesn't mean that you didn't miss Shachris. Whatever the punishment, it's just something you could do. The last sheet is Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya Omer. No, Sheni Takanta Derishon Hu. It really becomes like one unit. You have to do either Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. It sounds like the last sheet that you really could say, schlepping to the Beis HaMikdash, it's really inconvenient for me right now. But hotel rates are probably cheaper a month later. I don't know. I don't know how far to bring it. But the bottom line is, we've run out of time to talk about fascinating things in Awi Paskin. It's not really halacha lemaisa. But I think the main things are as follows. One, the narrative of Pesach Sheni compared to the narrative of Benos Tzlavchad raises all kinds of issues about, human initiative in halacha, how we relate to it, the modesty of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a lot going on. Okay? That's the first. The second is, why did this happen? The chinuch is very clear, and everybody, I think, falls in line behind him. Why is there even this opportunity? Really, because it's such a foundational principle to our religion that you don't want to be excluded. And I'll finish with this. Why is it, I think I've said this before, but it's so true to me. Why is it that the only two mitzvos asay in the Torah for which the punishment is kares are Karban Pesach and Bris Milah? And the answer, I think, is obvious. If you look it up, even now, in a land of Israel where, obviously, the majority of people are not Shomer Shabbos and Shomer Halacha, the number of people, the percent of people who have some form of a Seder is above 90%. And the percentage of people who give their kids a bris milah is above 90%. Yeah. The answer is there are some things that are so fundamental to the religion that even if you're not punished for not doing it, not doing it excludes you. I think the punishment of kares, which is exclusion, it's not a punishment. It's just the natural result. A person who doesn't do Korban Pesach is not part of the Jewish people. A person who does not give their child a bris milah is not, by their non-action, they are saying, I am not part of. And so it's so important. And by the way, in a different way, of course, bris milah has tashlumin. If you couldn't do it on the eighth day,
right,
you do it forever. And by the way, it's not even tashlumin. It's exact. I should have thought of this. It's exactly the same thing. Meaning, on the eighth day, the child is very sick. Is there a mitzvahs milah? No. So does anybody say, well, there was no mitzvahs milah on the eighth day, so he'll be an RL his whole life? Of course not. It could be that there's more to be said there. I should have thought of that before, but it's really a fascinating parallel.
Thank you, Ellie.